Hey, Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCFootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Hello, Trojan fans. Welcome to the Peristyle Podcast on a Friday. Weird to do a podcast on a Friday, but we got a very special guest in studio here in Redondo Beach, California. It's not Keely Yore. Yeah, she's here too. We have a very special guest from a rather large podcast. He's a USC guy. We want to do a little bit different, kind of bring in some USC people that are maybe in the industry but don't necessarily cover USC all the time, but they're interested and we want to get kind of their stories and their ties to USC. We have Brian Bishop here. You can go to brianbishop.com. Follow him at Bald Brian, B-R-Y-A-N. He is the author of Shrinkage. So we'll talk about that book a little bit. He's also on a podcast you might have heard of, the ACS Adam Carolla, the Adam Carolla Show. According to the Guinness Book of World Records, the largest podcast, the biggest podcast in the world. So he's a little slumming here on the Peristyle Podcast today, but we appreciate Brian coming in. Brian, thanks so much for coming on and coming down here to Redondo.
Oh, please. Thank you very much for having me. Big fan of you, Ryan, and USCFootball.com. Big fan. So thanks for finally having me on.
Oh, that's good. We met in, I think we have a mutual friend, like Michael Moline. We met in the
I don't know that name.
Okay. Smart answer. So he does, I think we've had him on the show, actually. He does stats for... he covers US, you know, he does the stats stuff for USC, but
he does defensive stats for the Coliseum.
Yes.
Cause he does Rams games as well.
Yeah. So he introduced us in the,
I texted him once when he was doing a Rams game against, the Packers. And I had Blake Martinez on my defensive, fantasy team. I'm like, hey man, need to rack up the tackles today. Do whatever you can.
That's awesome.
If he's anywhere near the ball, give him a tackle.
So he introduced us in the press box that day. I think you were there like with your wife and.
It was our daughter's first USC game.
Oh, very cool.
First football game. She was maybe a year old at that point. She was walking, so probably about a year and a few months.
I remember like...
Oh, no, exactly. It was a fall, so she had just turned one.
Okay.
Yeah, obviously, football season. Right. Her birthday's in September, so she just turned one. Michael was nice enough to give us a tour of the press box before all the construction had started on the Coliseum. And... that's where you and I met for the first time.
Yeah, it was very cool. And we said, oh, we should have you on the show. And that was like a year and a half ago. But here we are. We're glad you were to come. Keely, were you aware of the Adam Carolla Show? Have you?
I might be young, but I know.
Don't
what
put
it
her
is.
On the spot.
I know.
Oh, he always does. I'm used
all
to
the time.
It.
Like, these millennials, you know, I don't know what the.
Well, that was the first time you and I had met in person, but I'm pretty sure we had interaction before for many years, probably from 2001, I'm going to say. I went to USC from 96 to 2000.
Okay.
Probably in about 2000, 2001, I was introduced to USCFootball.com, and I was a frequent poster back then.
Oh,
frequent,
I didn't even know.
Frequent poster.
I was not even aware of that.
Frequent That's, poster.
What was your name?
I'm not going to tell you.
Oh.
You're going to have to guess.
He was ready for
that. That is the thing that we get the most questions about, because we have had Colin Coward here, and he's on the site a lot. And what does he post? And I'm like, he's not... usually posting. Most people read,
lurkers.
I posted. Yeah. I posted a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you'd have to go back and comb through those 2002 posts. I was Domer. That was me. No, I was, not at liberty to say.
Oh, that's awesome.
I really don't remember. I couldn't tell you when I wanted to.
Okay. I love that he's not saying or he doesn't know.
Domer. Trust me. I know.
Domer was a funny, so he was this funny guy. Brian.
Is he still around?
I haven't talked to him in a long time. He used to come to tailgates and he would post I'm not joking, 150 times a day.
He posted a lot.
Wow.
And I remember because he was a USC fan who went by a handle by a Domer.
Yeah. Domer BG, it was Brian Grimmel. So Domer BG, Brian Grimmel 4 or something like that. But he helped out early on in the site. I think
he's a nice guy. Had pleasant interactions with him.
Yeah. But mostly, I think it was before, it might've been before we joined Rivals. That was 2001. And then,
I feel like I was there for the transition. I remember when that happened.
Okay.
So that sounds about right.
Yeah.
And then beyond.
And then it was USC was just kicking ass then. And then it kind of grew into.
It was a good time.
It was
a right time, right place.
Yeah. And then I quit my engineering job in 2004 and started doing this full time. And then I would do a bunch of radio stuff. But never in L.A. because like you do some stuff in L.A. You go on Mason Island or something. But they wouldn't talk USC spring football. They wouldn't talk. They would talk in Lakers and everything. So someone like, oh, I'll do a podcast. I had no idea. I never like listened to. I started listening to podcasts maybe like 2 years ago. But we've been doing it. We've been doing it longer than the Adam Carolla show. But
Keely, this is the part where the guest interviews the host.
I'm sorry. Yeah, so I wanted to kind of get
your... I have a lot of questions for you, so...
You do?
No, oh, I don't.
You, I mean, you, I don't care. Like, we have, you know...
Nice little chat.
We got time. But I wanted to, you know, how you became... Like, how did you come to USC football? Like, how did you become, like, a USC fan? Obviously, you went there.
Right. I went to... I grew up and went to high school in Northern California, Sarah High School, where Tom Brady... when he was a year older than I was, so I knew him a little bit in high school. My dream as a young man was not to play sports because I wasn't good at sports. Well, I wanted to be a sports writer. I wanted to be like the next great sports writer. I was really into journalism. I was the editor in chief of my high school paper. I wanted to go to a journalism school. I didn't want to go to school in the snow. So I ruled out Northwestern and Syracuse and all the great journalism schools, even though I knew that going there would give me a huge, you know, leg up in the, you know, my career down the road maybe. But USC was a very good journalism school. They were on the West Coast. They were close enough to home, you know, that I wanted to be within, you know, striking distance of home. And I went to USC as a print journalism major. And that lasted for 2 years until I burnt out completely. There's a whole section on it in my book, but did not have a great experience in the journalism school and ended up as a creative writing major at USC. And that was a great experience. T.C. Boyle, who I don't know if you know that name, he's a really, really respected, well-known writer in the fiction community. He was a professor of mine at USC, and he was just great, one of the best professors I ever had. Kind of use those skills to this day. You know, creative writing is just storytelling, you know, how to structure a story, how to effectively tell a story, developing characters, et cetera, et cetera. It's kind of the same thing we do today, you know, broadcasting and podcasting, all that stuff.
Interesting. All right. Did you do Daily Trojan stuff? Did you write for
I wrote a few articles for the Daily Trojan. Okay. Yeah. I wrote a review of an Oasis concert that I went to. It was my favorite band. I was like, hey, I'm going to this concert. You want me to write a review? They're like, sure. So, and I made a couple other things. Never sports. I did, by that point, I was pretty much into just other stuff. And but yeah, a few Daily Trojan articles, but never got too deep into it.
Were you a huge like USC football fan? Like, did you start as one, or did you just kind of become?
I became much more of a fan as I graduated, or as I finished college and after college. Like, probably 2000 was where in the glory days of Paul Hackett was where I really when did you finish college?
I finished undergrad 93 and then grad school 95.
Did you go to USC for both?
Yeah, for both.
Okay. My personal experience, I sort of felt that fanship more as my college career is coming to an end. You know what I mean? That sort of nostalgia for college. I had nostalgia for something that ended 3 months earlier. And so I became more of a fan towards the end of college and afterwards. Like I was there. I remember I had gotten accepted to USC right around the same time they beat Northwestern in the Rose Bowl in 95. Yeah. And I was kind of like, yeah, that's interesting. I was like, that's great.
But that's a pretty big leap, though. To be like a poster on USCfootball.com, you had to become a pretty big fan at that point. Yeah.
I had a lot of free time. Okay. I didn't have a lot of money or social life, so it was a perfect opportunity.
That's why I created the website, Keely.
Yeah. For one person to become a very small pseudo celebrity in the podcasting world, you achieved your dream. That's awesome.
I wanted to talk about your book too, Shrinkage, to kind of give people some idea of what that was for. And when it came out like four or five years ago, I think.
I forget. Yeah, I think 4 years ago. Sounds right. I have no idea. 2014, I think.
Yeah.
I think.
You just write it on like a weekend or something.
No, it took a long time. No. It was the biggest accomplishment in my professional life by a long shot.
That is so cool.
I can't remember. It was a long process too. Have you written anything substantial? It's a long process.
There's like it's early stages, I guess you could say.
In the pre-planning stages, in the brainstorming stages.
It's a little further along, but but it's like the timelines and stuff is kind of long.
Let me tell you something, man, about writing a book. It's a Sisyphean effort of rolling a boulder up a hill forever.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And when you're done writing the book, you're not halfway done. Like then the publicity starts, and I don't mean like the publicity. I mean like, no, you got to promote your book. You got to go on every crappy podcast like this one and go and promote your book.
Ouch.
No, but I really did go on every crappy podcast. It's some good, some bad, but I just went everywhere and just, you know, talked up the book as much as I could. And it's an effort, man. It's, you gotta believe in it. You know, yeah. It'll really, test how much you believe in your own product.
Yeah. So maybe tell people a little bit about the book if they.
Oh, sure. Not, yeah. Shrinkage documents the first. So I was in 2009. I was married, but before then, I was diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumor, and I was diagnosed in April and married in June. So you can do the math of, you know, the treatments were overlapped, and it was a very dramatic time in my life. I was given my initial diagnosis was, you know, 6 months to a year.
Wow.
And here we are 10 years later almost. And, obviously spoiler alert, I'm still alive, but, the book covers the first year, the diagnosis, treatment, recovery, all that stuff. It was pretty dire for not a short period of time.
So there was a lot of treatment, surgical treatment.
Surgery was not an option. Yeah. I have an inoperable brain tumor. And so thus chemo and radiation were the prescription. And, I don't know how, I don't mean to pry into your personal life, but if you know anyone who's went through that, it's harrowing. You know what I mean? It's hard.
Wow. And, it inspired you to write the book.
No, an agent tracked me down and said, you should write a book. That inspired me to write the book.
It's like, we'll pay you this much. Exactly. Oh, okay.
I think I can get you in advance. I was like, well, I think I can get you a book. But no, it wasn't until the book came out, and then months afterwards, and even to this day, I still get emails and tweets on an almost daily basis from people who are like, hey man, my uncle is going through this, my brother, my sister, who, you know, dad, whoever, I'm getting them your book, or I got them your book and to help them. Like, I didn't realize, I thought I was just writing a book to sort of, and not entertain, but, you know, edify people and tell them the story and maybe entertain, make a laugh a little bit, maybe poignant, you know, all that stuff. I didn't realize, I should have, and I'm stupid that I didn't, how much it would help people. And that's been far and away the most rewarding, you know, aspect of it. Yeah. People still like look at it as a resource, and that's not what I did it for. I'm glad it is.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. There's so many people in your lives that get touched by cancer. It just happens so often now.
And it's impossible to go through life without being touched, you know, in some way by cancer.
It's crazy. Well, it's awesome. All right. I've not read it. I want to check it out now.
I'll get you a discount on a copy.
Really? See? Come on the crappy podcast.
Yeah, see? You know? That's right. It's paying for itself.
So for someone that when I moved to LA in 89 to go to USC. I can't remember when I might've listened to like Mark and Brian or something at the beginning, but like started listening to Kevin and Bean like fairly early.
Sure.
And just, you know, K-Rock had, you know, Carson Daly and, you know, Jimmy Kimmel and Adam Carolla and all these guys that were just became super, you know, famous and popular.
Right.
They seemed to be really good at it. I loved Mr. Burcham. I loved the Adam Carolla characters.
I never heard that on the radio because I didn't come to US or come to LA until 96. And by that point he was doing it, but I was a Howard Stern guy because they didn't have Kevin and Bean, you know, up in the Bay Area where I came from. So I just latched on Howard Stern. And it wasn't until years later that I sort of, you know, discovered, you know, Carolla through Loveline and all that stuff.
Yeah. The Loveline was big too, but it was funny. I don't know if you ever heard these, but he would pretend to be a shop teacher from some town in Montana or whatever.
Plentywood, Montana.
And people would call in and like, hey, I want to build a bookshelf. And he'd be like, yeah, you got to do this. Blah, blah. It was hilarious.
He'd give a comedic sort of take on.
Yeah.
But actual advice, because he was a woodworker.
Yeah.
Carolla has a carpentry background.
he knew what he was doing.
Wow.
But he made up all these like ex-wives and all this stuff. And
he was in Vietnam. And
it was hilarious. And him and Jimmy Kimmel was the sports guy, you know, and now these guys are like enormous. So they were just like sidekicks on.
It's a pretty special time, I would imagine. Yeah.
It was pretty neat. But how did you kind of get like introduced to Adam Carolla, and then how did you guys get acquainted and become part of his, I think since 2006, right? You've been working with him.
It's in the book.
Okay.
One of my part-time jobs out of college was I was screening calls for K-Rock. I screened the calls for the Flashback Lunch, for Tammy Heidi's Flashback Lunch.
Flashback.
And
not Richard Blade?
I didn't know Richard Blade. He was he was gone by the time I got there. This is 2001. I was there the day of 9/11. Not when it happened, but like I was there in the afternoon.
Wow.
So that's 2001, 2002. And after a year of doing that, I was promoted to screening calls for Loveline. You know, taking all the calls from all the people who had problems and, you know, prank calls and all that stuff. And that's where I met Adam initially. And it was just, you know, lowest man on the totem pole, literally, you know, screening calls at a radio station. And, you know, just worked hard and stayed in touch with them. And twists and turns, this actually is in the book, if you really want to know the whole story.
Okay.
But in 2006, when he took over for Howard Stern, I was part of that transition as the call screener for his radio show. And after a few months of doing that, I was given a chance to be on air, and I've been there ever since.
Nice.
Yeah.
Keely, do you, I don't know if you had anything.
I mean, I read that you got in a little trouble in your beginning days of screening.
I was let go from Loveline. Here's, man, this is stupid. Look, I'm still Adam's sidekick, so obviously wasn't in that much trouble. Yeah, after a few years of screening calls for Loveline, I was pretty bored, and I was posting a blog from the call screener's perspective, you know, behind the scenes type stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
Which you should never do. No one should ever do a blog from behind the scenes. You don't do a blog from behind the scenes, do you?
No,
okay,
I don't.
Smart.
It sounds kind of cool, but
it was very cool. It's funny. And at one point I took Adam and Drew to task on my blog that 10 people read, because Adam was like, can you believe you get paid to do this? Like some caller annoyed him. And I was like, yes, you get paid. You guys are millionaires. You guys get paid to put up with this. That's your job. And, this actually is the real lesson here. One of the other employees there, never do this. Keely, anyone listening, never do this. Printed out the blog, brought it to Adam and Drew with like highlights. Like, look what this guy's saying. You should really do something. And Drew was like, well, this thing has to be done. And so I was fired for making these hilarious, you know, wisecracks. Anyway, never do that.
Okay.
So how do you get your way back?
I had a full-time job at that point. So like, it was kind of like, yeah, I've done all I really should be doing here. And so, let's see. It's in the book, but, the short version is I was working for at a full-time job in the corporate world working for, do you guys know what Channel One is or was? Channel One was sort of like a CNN for teens. Uh-huh. It was like piped into high schools and elementary or middle schools. And it was like news of the day. Like it was like a CNN for high schoolers. Anderson Cooper started there. Maria Menounos started there.
Oh, no idea.
Yeah. Some notable people started there. And I was not on air. I was behind the scenes, and I got a call one day out of the blue from a producer, a TV producer on Adam's Comedy Central talk show called Too Late with Adam Carolla. And he's like, hey, we need help. They've been up for maybe like, you know, a few weeks. They've been running for a few weeks. And they're like, hey, we need help producing this segment. It's a call-in segment. And Adam suggested you, and we need help for, you know, a producer spot. And I was like, oh, this is great. And I'm embarrassed to say this is 2005. Yeah, 2005. I was making at my corporate job probably like $40,000 a year. I mean, it wasn't very much. And he's like, yeah, it pays $2,000 a week. I was like, that's a big bump. And I was like, yeah, hell yeah. And so I took the job, and I did that for a few months. And that coincided with when Adam was hired or got the job, take over for Howard Stern. And I just, you know, kind of went with him from there, because I had a good relationship with him.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Especially how long was that between like getting fired from Loveline to...
dare you bring that up?
Keely brought it up.
That's a really good point.
Tweet at Keely is my name. If you want to complain to her.
Let me think.
Like, was it a lot, like a couple of weeks, or was it?
No,
like
no, 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 no. It was at least a year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was at least a year.
So he remembered you for a year. That's pretty, you know.
You didn't burn a bridge that much then.
No. Yeah. From the offense that I've described to you, I don't think you would consider that something to bring to HR. But yeah, I still have a good relationship with Drew and with Adam. I see Drew a lot because he does our podcast. He does a podcast with Adam. He's always around.
How did you guys transition from like terrestrial radio or, you know, syndicated radio to the exclusive podcasting? Because I mean, Adam's obviously one of the early ones, but he's done it better than anybody to be, you know, that you know, to make it that kind of an empire.
I thought this was going to be at USC football.
We're going to get into that. Well, I'm sorry.
I'm joking. The station flipped formats in February 2009. So we just passed our 10-year anniversary of the day they flipped formats, which in radio terms means one day it's talk radio, the next day it's ranchero music. You know what I mean? Like they just flipped formats, and they let us all go. Probably a good financial decision because the talk station 97.1 was paying five talk shows, you know, throughout the, they're paying five morning show salaries essentially when they could have just been playing music, you know right. what I mean? So it was a probably good financial decision. Adam was, I believe, still, well, I know he was still under contract. I'm pretty sure he was under a no compete clause, meaning that like he couldn't like go to another radio station. He couldn't start like, you know, charging for the podcast, but he wanted to put out some sort of product for the people who, you know, were fans or were clamoring for, you know, more Adam Carolla show. And so he started podcasting and probably, I guess, the next day, late February 2009. And then it wasn't that long after that. That was a kind of a one-on-one format. And it wasn't long after that that he asked me and Teresa Strasser, the co-host at the time, to come back and be a part of sort of a full morning show style podcast,
nice.
Which was a little bit ahead of its time at that point. The people had been podcasting, as you know, but there weren't too many full shows, you know what I mean? Like morning style shows doing podcasts.
Yeah, there wasn't as much production, I think, into a lot of them like that.
And it was mostly one-on-one, you know, interview style or just talking extemporaneously into a microphone. You know, that kind of stuff.
And you guys just had the 10-year anniversary, or is it going to be, it's coming up?
We have a 10-year anniversary show coming up, which is sold out. That's at the Peterson Automotive Museum. It's funny because on our show, you know, Adam's from LA. He grew up in North Hollywood, right. And he's every reference he has is about LA, whether it's the 405 or the Peterson or whatever. And I have to constantly remind him, like, we're an international show. Can you please explain what? But it's funny because everyone listening to the show has some connection to USC. So most likely they know every reference we're talking about. So it's nice not to have to explain what the Peterson is. So we have this show coming with the Peterson, but we did just celebrate our 10-year anniversary of podcasting, which I believe was February 23rd.
Nice-ish.
Yeah, something like that.
Nice. Well, you want to talk some USC football, so we have some.
I got to go, actually.
You got it? Oh, crap. We have breaking news. So he's a sound guy. So he's
the drops.
That was pretty clunky.
It was. Damn it. Well, I actually had it muted, so I had to hit it twice. Because when we do our like live show, I had that muted.
That's fine. I'm joking.
Pay for effort.
That was pretty seamless.
Yeah, you know, we didn't know when we were going to have Brian on. We thought we'd just kind of have some fun conversations about USC. That there would be actually some bad news. There's typically bad news when you're covering USC.
That's a good point.
Two new names have entered the NCAA transfer portal. You can find them up on uscfootball.com. So Velus Jones, the former three-star wide receiver, 6 foot, about 190 pounds or so, mostly played slot for USC. You know, from the South, looks like he wants to be going back there. So he has entered the transfer portal. And Greg Johnson, local 4-star defensive back, cornerback, 5'11", 190 pounds. He has also entered the transfer portal today. So we got some word yesterday that those two names were out there. We had heard Greg Johnson probably wasn't going to, but he obviously has. Doesn't mean they're gone, but it kind of means they're gone. But they technically could come back to USC. USC could cut them, or they could leave. Or if they decide, like, you know, I want to come back and USC allows it, they can come back too. But
how often does that happen?
We've only had the second.
NCAA players who enter the transfer protocol. What percentage end up coming back to the school?
It's pretty rare. There's like 2,000 players in the portal. I've heard of a couple that have.
So there's a chance.
Yeah, I mean, this is weird, Brian. Like we were looking at the defensive back depth chart. We thought there was only going to be like five healthy guys. A couple of guys have had surgery. They might be able to come back. One more is gone. You're running the air raid, and you're going to have four healthy wide receivers in the spring. Like, it's insane. With five receivers have transferred out.
That's a lot of reps.
Five have transferred out. Trayvon Sidney, Josh Amentor Baby, Randall Grimes, Velus Jones, and then Brew McCoy, who was only around for a couple of weeks. I mean, it's kind of crazy this spring.
I would say so. I'm thankful to not live and die with USC in the spring like I used to, because it aged me. It aged me quite a bit.
It's weird. And if you guys don't know, you should check on Brian's Twitter. So Bald Brian, we'll probably have to get into why they call you Bald Brian.
How dare you? My name's Brian, obviously. What kind of question
is this? And you don't have hair. So I guess that
you son of a bitch. It's never been uttered before.
Was that you? Did you come up with that, or was that?
No, it was Dave Damashek. Do you know that name?
Yeah, I know Dave. Oh, yeah. Dave. Well, I mean, I'm from Pittsburgh originally, so okay. We've like tweeted each other.
That, okay, that explains.
I don't like know him, but we've like tweeted each other.
It would have been funnier if we said no, he didn't know that name. But alas, here we are. When I started on the morning show, they just, call me Brian, or Adam would occasionally call me Bri. And then Dave eventually started calling me Bald Brian.
Nice.
The name stuck.
So go to follow at Bald Brian and go back and look in October, the tweet that you had, and you sent it to me, and I'd seen it was great. So Brian's dressed up as Clay Helton.
My Halloween costume.
With one of the, the McDonald's headsets on.
It's actually an Xbox headset.
Okay, it's Xbox. And he's got this look on his face, like what's going on? And the headset's not plugged into anything. The play sheet doesn't have anything on it.
I was
going
to say, I don't know how closely you can see the play sheet, but I actually took the time to write, to like make pages. And one says, first down plays, and then a big blank space. And then second down plays, big blank space.
So
it goes on and on.
So you're not a Clay Helton fan, I'm guessing?
I'm sure he's a nice fellow. Have you had the opportunity to meet Clay Helton?
A couple of times,
I'm sure he's a nice fellow. Does he have a family? Does he have children?
Yes.
There you
nice
go. Family. Man. There you go.
He's very nice. Some of the USC fans get mad when we say like Keeley, like, oh, he's a super nice guy. Like he is.
I'm sure he's a nice guy.
But
he comes across as a very nice guy.
How could he be? The team sucks. Like, doesn't mean that
it's a referendum on you as a fan that he's mean to the people you like. Yeah, man. I'm not a huge fan.
So, do you, as a fan now, are you like kind of, I'm not going to go to games, or I'm just kind of backing off, or is this like? Is it? I don't know. How has this affected you? Because a lot of fans have kind of backed away.
It's tough, man. It's a perfect storm for me personally. So, number one, had a baby. She's two. She'll be 2.5 this month. Had a baby 2 years ago. That makes it difficult to go to games. Our friends. One of the best parts about going to games is some of the friends we went to college with did a tailgate every week, and the parking restrictions became so difficult that they never get to renew their parking, and the tailgates went away, and that was a big blow. And then I think the ticket prices may have gone up. It was just a perfect storm of, and then the team's not playing super well, but that was like maybe fourth in line. It was a perfect storm where we just don't go to as many games now. It's unfortunate. It's just a great game day atmosphere, obviously, as I know. I've been to many games. I love going to games. I've been to, I guess this depends on your point of view, whether or not you think I'm a celebrity or not, but as minor as I am, I would be interested to know if you may know if there's been another person in the public eye who is not associated with USC who has traveled as many miles to see USC as I have on my own dime. I'm sure Will Ferrell and Snoop Dogg have been flown to many destinations by the team. I have not been flown anywhere by the team.
Nice.
I've been to multiple Orange Bowls. I went to the FedEx game against Virginia Tech. Again, on my own dime. I've been to many. I met my wife at an Arizona State game at Arizona State. I've been to many games. Diehard fan, but it's just hard. Life gets in the way.
Yeah, we'll have to put that out to the peak, Keely. Like, is it who else out there?
I don't know. I mean,
again, I'm talking about people that USC has flown to places.
Right,
because again,
right.
I'm sure Will Ferrell has been to many more miles of games than I have.
I don't know. Like, he's probably not.
He was at the Texas game this past season. He was at the Cal game last season.
USC,
he shows up randomly.
Yeah. USC doesn't really have like a Matthew McConaughey who would like come a lot.
Nick
like
Shea count back in the Liney days?
Yeah. Like he might have.
He was a pretty big celebrity.
Yeah. He went to Cincinnati or something.
But it's kind of random.
But he was
I only saw him on the sidelines at home games.
Yeah, I think he lived out here.
Yeah,
but he was friends with Leinart.
I discount athletes. I'm not talking about Ronnie Lott. I'm not talking about
Marcus Allen used to come a lot.
Yeah, I'm not talking about athletes.
Right.
Yeah,
interesting.
Yeah. Okay, so it's out there. Please, I'd love to know if someone's ahead of me.
Everyone on the P, we need to find this out.
We'll figure it out.
Speaking of the P, do you want to read some of the comments, questions that came in?
Yeah, please. We have a question from Gate Call who says
love Gate Call.
he helped name he named Tunnel Vision, right? He came up with our name Tunnel Vision.
Okay, yeah. Shouts to Gate Call.
Yeah, nice.
He says, "What's your best Adam Carolla gambling story involving USC?"
Gambling story. I don't know about that. The only stories Adam Carolla has about gambling is that he is unlucky, and so every team he bets on loses. So it's to the point now where, like, he's not even a gambler, but, like, he'll put a bet on the Super Bowl or something. It's to the point now where this is a true story. Kimmel called him like before the Super Bowl a couple years ago. It was like, hey, I need to know who you're betting on. He's like, I'm not sure. He's like, no, tell me so I know who I'm putting a bet down right now. I'm going the other way of you. Whatever it is, I'm just going the other way. He's an unlucky guy. So I don't know if I have any USC gambling stories for him. I love USC gambling because I don't know if you're a gambling enthusiast like I am, but if you know a team, and I feel like there were points in my life where I really knew USC, like I could feel how they played. I knew the rhythm of games. I knew how they were coached. I understood when they were a second half team or when they were the team had personality. You know what I mean? They played a certain way. So if you knew that and you knew that they were going to come out and kind of, you know, punch to a draw in the first half, you know, if Arizona State's getting, you know, plus 14 in the first half, take it, because USC is going to make up those points in the second half. Trust me, and that paid off really well for a long time.
Nice.
That was a good era.
Does USC come up a lot in the show? I know what was the comedian you guys just had on?
Brad Williams.
Brad Williams. Yeah. I know he talked about going to USC and dropping out and stuff. Is that something that comes up and you get to chat with guys?
It is, as much as any other school. USC, it doesn't come up that often, but it does come up more than any other school, obviously because of my connection, but also, you know, just being that we're in LA, you know, Adam Ray just came on. He went to USC, Brad Williams. And then Adam was a very good high school football player for North Hollywood High. But before that, he played Pop Warner football for the East Valley Trojans.
Okay.
And they were, you know, molded after, you know, the same colors and color scheme and uniform as the USC Trojans. So he's always had a bit, and he grew up in the 70s. So he's always had a bit of an affinity for, you know, USC. So it does come up in as much as any college, you know, comes out.
Nice.
Yeah. Thanks, Gateway. Who is
Gate
it?
Call.
Gate Call.
Gate Call.
I'm going to call you Gateway.
Gateway, the apartments at USC.
I'm thinking of the computer with the
cows on it. Yeah.
True.
That's a dated reference, Keely.
I got it. Don't worry, I got it.
Did you have those at all?
Yeah, and in like elementary school.
She's all in a museum.
Yeah, we would have them in like elementary school.
We used to throw them off the roof for fun.
So we have another question. Question/comment from TMB Knight. He says, the best work you do is your movie podcast.
Oh,
do you want to talk about that a little bit in your process with us?
Thanks, TMB Knight. That's a very nice thing to say. I host a movie podcast called The Film Vault. It's a once-a-week movie podcast. And we, unlike most movie podcasts that look forward, you know, talk about the movies that come out that week or look forward to, you know, here's what's upcoming, we almost exclusively look backwards. And we just talk about top five. Ever since we've been doing the show, and it's been close to 10 years. Every week we do a top five sports movies, top five football movies, top five sequels, top five good actors in bad roles, you know, anything under the sun. And this week we did one of our annual lists, which is the Vaulties. It's the, you know, our best of the year, the best of 2018. We wait for the Oscars to have their say. Then we do our end of the year best of list. But thank you, TMB Knight. That's very nice of you to say. Once a week it's on iTunes or everywhere finer podcasts are sold. And well, it's free. The Film Vault.
Are you? So I was wondering about that because there's a lot of pop culture on the show. You know, when movies come up, you're always like coming up with, you seem to know more. I mean, obviously you do a podcast, you know more about it, but is that something you like to keep up with? Because it seems like there's always, you got to know what Ari Grande's doing and all this stuff.
Okay. So funny you mention that. So I'm okay. So if you're willing to split hairs, no pun intended, I'm less in the pop TMZ world of pop culture and more in the movies world. You know what I mean? Like I see a lot of movies. I just saw How to Train Your Dragon 3. Like I try and see every movie for the most part. I mean, unless it's like just something I'm not interested in, but I've liked the first two How to Train Your Dragon movies. And I saw the third one. It was fine. I saw pretty much every Oscar movie. I pride myself a little bit on knowing sports as well as I know movies. So I'm pretty well versed in both.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty well versed.
Yeah, I wasn't sure because it's like, it's one of those things like, man, there's some interesting stories. I mean, you guys have a lot of great stories, but I don't know if I could talk about, you know, whatever the pop stuff is, but it seems like you're more on the movie
side. I have
side.
A pretty cursory knowledge of, you know, the Ariana Grande's of the world. I'm aware of them. I know that she was involved with Pete Davidson, but I couldn't tell you a whole lot more. Actually, I guess I know a song or two. But
you guys were crushing him on the show recently, like Pete Davidson. So from Saturday Night Live, I don't know if you heard, but yeah, like he was. They're just like, Adam's just like, oh, he has no talent.
Yeah, he's not a big fan. I don't have as strong a take on him, but he's not a huge fan.
So in that sense, what was your take on the Oscars
movies? The Oscar movies or the Oscars themselves? Like the ceremony?
Like the choices. Who won?
That's a very complicated question. The Oscars, the show itself, the Oscars, was kind of clunky. I thought it suffered from not having a host.
Yeah.
Speaking of gambling, I got screwed on that one because as soon as they announced, remember they announced that four categories are going to be given out during a commercial?
Yeah.
As soon as they announced that and there was no host, I went online and made a bet that the Oscars would go under 3 hours and 15 minutes because I'm like, no host? Like,
wow.
four?
That's a bold move.
Well, it wasn't that bold because they're giving away four Oscars during commercials and there's no host. I'm like, that's an easy one. Then they announced they're putting them back in. I'm like, I got totally screwed. I lost my bet, of course, by 3 minutes. They won 318.
Wow.
I have a problem. And so the show itself was kind of clunky. It could have used a host. As far as the Oscars themselves, the awards, there were, of the 8 movies nominated, there were a handful that I would have been legitimately upset if they won Best Picture. Green Book was not one of them. It's a fine movie. There's nothing wrong with it.
Okay.
It's not the greatest movie of the year, nowhere near it, but it's fine. I have no problem with Green Book. It's good. I would have liked to have seen some other movies get a little more attention. The best movie nominated for an Oscar this year was Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
I haven't seen that.
That's awesome.
Everyone I talked to said
everyone's
it was great.
Raved about
it's really
it.
Good.
Yeah.
Way better than Green Book.
Wow.
Yeah, so
but it wasn't even nominated.
It won Best Animated Feature, but yeah. It wasn't nominated for Best Picture. But overall, you know, fine. Not a great year.
And there was some outrage, though, right, that Green Book won. There's some people that don't like it.
Some people freaked out. It's very soft around the edges. It doesn't take a lot of chances. It's very by the numbers. It takes a very antiquated view of racism. You know what I mean? It's like the white man gets redemption because of his friendship with the black man. But this is actually how the story went down in real life. So, you know.
Yeah, it's based on a real thing.
They didn't consult the family, though.
Yeah. That was some people's problem with it.
Yeah,
I didn't particularly care about that. It was a well-told story, a good movie, well-acted. I didn't have a huge problem with it.
This is going to make me watch. I don't watch a ton of movies. Like, we'll watch like stuff at home, but my wife likes to go and I don't go as much. So now we're going to have to go more.
Pop culture relevant.
See Spider-Man. Spider-Man's sweet.
I would love to see that.
Spider-Man's awesome.
Is it still out?
I think it's in the theater still. It must be because I think it came out in like December.
Okay.
It must be. Anyway, track that one down. That's my recommendation.
Ryan. I'll check it. Yeah.
My favorite movie of the year was A Quiet Place. I loved it.
So was that really good?
It was rad. I loved it.
We saw the memes, but I didn't really like.
Oh, it's so good!
It's like you feel like you know what's going on because people like reference it all the time. You're like, I haven't seen the movie, but I guess okay.
Yeah, I loved A Quiet Place, and I loved. You're thinking Bird Box.
Oh crap! Bird Box.
Similar movie. This one's with Emily Blunt and John Krasinski, and it's been out. It came out in April or May or something like that. And my second favorite movie of the year was Eighth Grade, which is a little movie, kind of came and went, but it was really good. Did you see it?
That was, for me, that was like a
You were just in eighth grade.
Pretty much. I mean, like.
Last semester.
So my boyfriend saw it first and loved it. And then was like, you should see it. Mm-hmm. I saw it and like was way too emotional after the movie.
It was a really good movie.
It was like a low light. Everything mm-hmm. that was horrible about eighth grade for me as a female mm-hmm. in a movie.
Yeah.
And I was
imagine
like,
you probably
I was
responded
super
to it
uncomfortable
more.
Watching the movie.
Yeah. It's good. It's really well done.
It's good though. All right. I think Bo Burnham is genius.
Yeah, it was a well done movie. I liked it a lot.
I'm just sort of getting into the cutting the cord and like I think our generation is like channel flippers and stuff. Just whatever's on, that's what you would watch. But it's now more about like, oh, I'm going to watch this show, and we have Hulu, so like I'll watch. Oh, I haven't seen this series yet, so it's like it's not in my brain to like do that. But like your generation, like that's all you want to do. Like you can't even imagine like flipping
your
channel.
Generation.
Well, whatever the millennials.
This is Ryan's attempt to sound young.
That's right.
Yell at cloud.
See, but going to college forces you to cut the cord. Like, we don't have cable in college.
I can see that. I mean, in my day, we had, obviously cable boxes, but that was the late 90s.
But we didn't. So, like, you try and find anything you can and stream.
Yeah. I'm way too overinvested in media now because I have DirecTV. I have Apple TV. I have all the subscriptions. I have Hulu just so I could watch it was actually really good. One of the documentaries nominated for Best Documentary, Minding the Gap. It was really good.
Oh.
But, I have to have all these services to see all these movies.
It's interesting. Yeah, I don't know. It's hard. I don't like the interface as much as the other ones. And there's just like
you own a website.
I know. It's so weird. I'm an old man, you know.
You are.
I'm 40. I'm the old man in the room, at least.
Okay, Mike Gundy. Oh, man, I'm 40.
I think he's my age now.
Going back to USC, if we want to reel this back
sure,
in.
Sure, okay.
What has been your favorite USC football moment?
Oh, wow. I wish I had these questions in advance.
We're not very professional. Like, we don't. You know.
I'm going to go off the board. I'm going to go off the board of the very personal selection. Honestly, okay. So I'll go with one like what you're. I'll answer your question, but I'll also give another story that's not exactly what you're talking about.
Sure.
But when I was diagnosed with cancer, it was the season that USC played at Ohio State, and I missed that road trip. I would have gone because I have a good friend from Columbus, Ohio. I have a lot of friends who were going out there. One of my rich friend was flying out there with a private jet, and wow. I probably would have had an opportunity to go there. But of course I missed it because I was in the, it was on my birthday too. And I was looking forward to that because they announced the schedule for it like 4 years in advance. I'm like, I'm definitely going to this. And it didn't happen for obvious reasons. I was doing really, really poorly physically at the end of my treatment. The next season, the 2010 season, I forget what game, but let's just say it was the season opener. It was early in the year. I remember it was sunny. I remember it was warm. So it was certainly September. And it was a home game. It might've been the home opener. All I remember is that, like, I remember all I wanted to do was like go back to USC games. You know what I mean? Like, it was such a happy time for me being with my friends, my new wife, and this was all taken away from me. I thought I'd never go to another USC game again. And being able to go and just hear the crowd, the Coliseum, and the band, it still makes me emotional. Like thinking about just, that's why it's not even about the, game. It's not about the players. It's not about the coaches or the, it's all of it. It's the milieu. It's the game day experience. It's being in the Coliseum. It was a special feeling. And I remember how I felt on that day. It was very, very, it was very emotional. In terms of actual on the field, the loudest I ever heard the Coliseum was the revenge game against Cal in 2003, right? 2003, the home game, Aaron Rodgers.
With Aaron Rodgers and the fourth down.
That was the loudest I ever heard the Coliseum. And I remember because my friend John Sadler, who's a big USC fan, was sitting in front of me, and he had gotten drunk because that's back in the USC stadium. The Coliseum sold beer, and he was passed out in the loudest part of the game.
That is awesome.
And I that's the loudest I ever heard. The second loudest I ever heard it was I sat front row one in 2001 against UCLA, the 27-0 game, who was it Kevin Arbett who ran back the punt? It was a big punt return.
Oh crap,
I think it was Kevin Arbett.
It might have been.
I'm going deep on you here, man.
He was like a sixth year guy was around a long time.
I'm gonna say it was Kevin Arbett, and I was gonna say it was a punt return, and I was gonna say it was late first quarter, early second quarter, but it was all of that. It was Pete Carroll's first season. It was it was all of that pent up energy after USC had been bad for what felt like so long, had been in UCLA shadow for what felt like so long. Granted, we had won the last couple of games, but we weren't where the program should have been. And even though the team was at the time, 6-5 or 6-6 or whatever they were, I think it was 6-6. So we went 7-6 and then 7-7 after the bowl game. In case anyone doubts, I'm a real fan. I remember it was just, you could feel that pent up energy of like, even though we're 7-6 or whatever we were, 6-6 at the time, like, things are going in the right direction. This is a team you can root for. Just unlike, granted, our record wasn't that much different than it was with Paul Hackett the year before, and we were 5-7, but that was not a team you could be proud of. That was not a well-coached team. That was not a disciplined team. That was not a team that you could like say, yeah, USC plays like Trojans. Like the next year, 2001, that was not a talented team. That was not a deep roster. There were guys playing out of position. Corey Dickerson was playing tight end. Yeah. This was a scraped together team. Marcel Allman was, I think, playing defensive back at that point or receiver. Well, he'd be a switch back and forth.
Sonny Bird, like running.
Yeah, Sonny Bird was getting 2.5 yards a carry on a good day. But that was a team you could be proud of. That was a team that took really good Washington teams and really good Oregon teams to the wire. Like they took them to the fourth quarter and it came down to the last play. Like they won on field goals. And this was a team you could be proud of, even though the casual observer might be like, oh, USC 6-6. Like, no, this team will be good. This is a well-coached team.
It was Antoine Simmons, interception return for a touchdown.
No, I remember that, but there was a punt return as well. Well, for a touchdown. It was for like a 75-yard punt return.
Oh, okay.
I guess Antoine Simmons did the behind the leg or between the legs. That was an amazing interception return. That was one of the greatest plays I've ever seen. You know, the deflected off of, not J.J. Stokes. Who was the tall receiver they had? Pauly Dixon.
Okay.
Brian Pauly Dixon. Yeah, it bounced off his hands and Antoine Simmons between his legs intercepted it.
Right, he like ended the first quarter, so it was spectacular. 14-0.
It was spectacular.
Yeah. Wow.
In case anyone doubts, I'm a real fan.
And the 2010 season, so USC started at Hawaii, then they played Virginia at home.
That sounds like the game I was probably in.
Because then they went at Minnesota, at Washington State. So they were only at home once that first month.
That is probably the Virginia game.
Okay.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we kept our tickets through that whole time too, our season tickets. So we just had that sort of, you know, faith that things would work.
I mean, that's cool. Like I think that's where some fans get away. They're just so just upset at, I hate Clay Helton. So if something good happens, they can't
get
embrace
that drop.
It.
Get that drop.
Yeah.
I hate Clay Helton. See, he's a sound guy. He knows where he's at.
Right.
But for like someone like, there's a lot of fans out there. Like there's experience like you, have something personal in your life that like sucked. That's awful. That no one should have to deal with. And you do, and you get through it and you go and like, I want to go to a football game and I want to hang out at the tailgate and I want to hear the crowd cheer and I want to watch a team win or lose. And that's, I think what's a lot of the fans, like, especially in our message boards, the diehard people, sometimes they forget that. Like this is a release for some people. That's just something you enjoy doing.
Yeah. Yeah. You're up. You're 100% right. And it wasn't until then, like USC football was a big part of my life. Something I look forward to, like, because I love the game and I loved you know, the winning and all that stuff. But then it wasn't until then that I was like, I recognize now what this really means to me, you know, and it's part of my life, not just for what's on the field, but for everything. Well, you know, the memories, you know, all that stuff.
How much, if this is too personal, you can tell me to stop or shut up, but how much did your diagnosis change your mindset about life and going forward?
I don't really want to talk about that.
Because that's hard to get that short of a lifespan, right?
Meaning what?
Meaning you were told you have like 6 months to live.
Yeah.
Understatement.
This is in the book, but maybe this is a reflection on my positive attitude or on my incredible naivete. But when I was given the 6 month to a year diagnosis, prognosis as it were, my first thought was, you know, holy shit, if I can say shit,
sure.
Which I just did twice. I said, you know, holy shit. Like, and I broke out into cold sweat, but then almost as quickly, I just, you know, thought, I'm like, well, that's not going to be me. That's for other people. And we'll figure out some, you know, way to beat this. And then thankfully we did. It didn't make me look foolish. It gave me, a lot of people say it gives you perspective, and I guess it did, but it also made me value the things in my life that were worth valuing. You know what I mean? Like prioritize, and not some perspective in a sense, but like, oh no, this is what's important. And even, you know, I was doing some meditation, some guided meditation when I was going through my, you know, treatment, and it was for cancer patients specifically. Oh. And the woman's voice, you know, said, now I want you to thank your cancer. And I was like, that's a weird thing to say, but she, you know, the way she went on to explain, like, thank you for giving me perspective on what's important. And thank you for teaching, you know, what to prioritize things in your life and for serving a purpose. And now it may go. You know, I was like, wow, that's very poignant. That's powerful. So I thought about that ever since. And it's given me a little bit of perspective and also, you know, value things that are worth valuing.
Brian Bishop. We call him Bald Brian. Mm-hmm. BrianBishop.com.
We didn't talk about USC football nearly enough.
Do you want to talk about? Yeah. It's been 45.
I'm not complaining.
It's been like 45 minutes or so.
You give said us 30. Rapid fire. What do you want to talk about? We talk about it so much that we don't know what to talk about.
I'm out of ideas.
Did you have any USC questions?
No,
you
not really. Not especially.
What are you expecting for this next season?
I'll quote Apollo Creed and say pain.
Have you sort of given up on it? You're like,
no,
it's just
I not. Mean, I mean, I'll never give up. I think brighter days are ahead. I don't want to talk shit about USC football. I'm here to celebrate, you know.
Yeah,
the good things.
Are you like a Urban Meyer guy? Or you think that USC could hire someone good?
I want. I went to the USC the UCLA game this year. I made a promise to myself that I would never go back to the Rose Bowl after the 13-9 game. And I was like, I'm never coming back. The only way I'm coming back is if I'm flipping the coin. I'm never coming back to this as I exited the stadium. I went back this year because a fan of the show reached out and said, hey, I'm the director of premium seating, i.e. the boxes at the Rose Bowl. We have a box that's not being used. Would you like to use it? I was like, is parking included? And he said yes, and I said, all right, I'll do it. And bringing it back to Dave Danishak, who was there with me in the box. Now, this may be apocryphal to some extent, and he'll yell at me for saying this, but he apparently, according to him, if you listen to Dave, was the guy who brokered the USC-UCLA home-and-home jerseys between Rick Neuheisel and Pete Carroll back when Dave had a Los Angeles sports talk show.
He was on yeah, I forget which.
Was it 790.
Yeah, it might have been 790.
ESPN Radio. He had them both on his show, and it's like, Dave's one of his hilarious bits is that he's very into uniforms and the aesthetics of uniforms. He's like, there's nothing. I'm doing a Dave Danishak. Like, there's nothing better than when the USC Trojans and the UCLA Bruins would wear their home uniforms. It was the blue and the cardinals glorious. Like, can we do? And Pete Carroll and Drew Neuheisel are apparently like, yeah, sure, we'd love to do that.
And that's awesome.
And so Dave is standing in the booth with me at the UCLA game, screaming to the crowd, Enjoy my gift to you.
That's awesome. You're doing good Danishak too. I don't know if you guys heard, like, so he's kind of
all I do is say, like, be as annoying as possible and then go a little farther.
He's got, so growing up in Western Pennsylvania, we had this sort of twang thing. And then I moved to Massachusetts to, like, where you have like the Pacquiao, that kind of thing. So there's a little, it was more like Kentucky-ish or something, but like Yinz guys, and you're going to go downtown. So he's got some of that. So I kind of got that mellowed
out.
He's
got a Myron Cope thing going on.
Right? Says Myron Cope. That's pretty good, man. That's good stuff. You didn't have any other USC topics you wanted to discuss? We don't want to, like, you know.
I'm trying to think.
I know you want to get back on the... You're going to West LA.
Oh, Christ. That's right. I don't have to worry about people like, where's that? Yes, I'm going back. I'm going back home to West LA. My wife, her parents still live in Westwood. She grew up in Westwood.
Oh, wow.
Her parents still live there.
And she went to USC.
She did, in fact.
Christy, right?
Yeah. Yes, that's right. How dare you use her name on this podcast?
Man, does she get involved at all? Because, like, you know, Adam's wife gets involved. Do you get Christy involved a lot?
Yeah, I tell a lot of stories. I mean, now that we have, you know, our daughter Tessa, like, it's much more entertaining. It's like, oh, here's something crazy that she did or said or whatever. Some adorable picture, you know, a video. She did, Christy, I should actually, you know what, promote it because the USC family likes to support their own. She just started her own podcast. And it's very good.
Okay.
It's actually about marketing. It's a marketing podcast because she has been in marketing ever since. She went to USC for undergrad, communications, and then went to Northwestern for grad school and did integrated marketing and communications there. And she's been doing marketing ever since. And she does a commercial or a podcast called Commercial Grade. And it's all about the world of advertising, commercials. She's worked for Jaguar and Lexus and Farmers Insurance and Apple, Mac, you know, the big accounts. She's made quite a career out of advertising. She shares her experiences, interviews people, and does what I think is a pretty awesome job.
Do you get to use the same setup in the kitchen? Like, she uses the same one you
have? No, I bought all of her own equipment. No, she has her own setup, her own rig. She goes and interviews people. Yeah, she does.
Okay.
She's getting very good at it.
So it's not necessarily always in the house, like, kind
of. Sometimes it is. Yeah. Sometimes it isn't. Yeah. She's on 4 episodes so far, I think, 4 or 5.
Nice.
Yeah. I lose count because she does a couple ahead of time. But check it out. Commercial Grade with Christy Bishop. I think it's quite good.
Very nice.
All right. Check it out after you check out the Film Vault.
Right. You got to go Film Vault first. We got to check that out. I'm going to tell my wife about that too because she's going to, like, it'll make me go to more movies. So she's going to listen to that stuff. But follow him on Twitter at Bald Brian, BryanBryan.
I'm on Instagram too. Same. Paul Brown.
Same thing. Yeah. Oh, I think we're on Instagram friends now.
Probably.
I think
so. Yeah. Instagram's hard because, it's hard because, unlike Twitter, where you can retweet someone and you know, your followers get exposed to them. There's not the same. I mean, you can get a third party app, of course, you know, to do Instagram, but it's not the same sort of, you know, spreading the word.
It's more, weird for me. Like, I still have, like, I'm starting to do it more, but it's like, Keely's got to help me with things. And
I'm telling you, he's old.
Like Janet, my wife will do it more, but I'm like, how do I let people know? Like, this is cool. Like, why can't anyone retweet this? Like,
again, you started a website.
Yeah, I know. But this is
plus, there's like an unspoken rule. You're supposed to do like one post a day at most, and Ryan does like four a day. Yeah.
Instagram. Yeah, I do a lot less than that.
Really? Yeah. I don't do
okay, Instagram posts. Is all
sometimes.
No, I'm trying to do more stories now.
Okay, good job.
If you like adorable 2 year olds, that's pretty much all my Instagram is.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I do.
Some people do like,
you're in luck.
Some people do like 50 stories. When I see those little dashes at the top,
the smaller
I'm like,
okay, the dash, just unfollow.
All right. Skip. We'll figure this out.
Swipe.
Keely, let me know what's going
on. Give you an Instagram tutorial.
Yeah, so follow him on Twitter or Instagram if you want to see pictures of Tessa, 2.5 years old now,
wandering around the house. I'm trying to think what else.
Anything else? The book is Shrinkage, we're going to check it out.
No, I'm trying to think of what else I should
show up to Brian's house. He'll
that's right.
Go to West LA and just ask for Brian.
I'll be the one at the Trader Joe's just out the Westwood with the USC. Yeah. I told you, I actually have one of these of my own. I bring a USC Trader Joe's shopping bag. I bring it to the just south of Westwood Trader Joe's and get a lot of dirty looks.
Yeah. Well, you know, get the book, walk up to Brian at the Trader Joe's and he'll sign
up
for you.
Don't walk up to me. Do not approach me. I'm a huge celebrity.
Make sure you shake his hand, say hello. Well, this worked out well. Like we've wanted to do this, like get people like, you know, USC ties that are kind of in the media. It would have been great to get a better guest for the first one, but I think this is working out all right.
You know what? This is actually hurtful. I feel like when I make the jokes, it's in good fun. And when you do, it comes from a place of mean-spiritedness.
But we do like really appreciate you coming all the way down here.
My pleasure.
And he was like, you know,
I got to get back on the website sometime and post.
Yeah, just check it out. But we were texting. He's like, no, in person's better. You know, he does this for a living, so he knows. Like,
in person is way better.
It's so much cooler. Like if you were on Skype or something, it'd be like, that's nice. But this is way.
And then you're like, I'm in Redondo Beach, and I broke a pencil and I just snapped. I'm like, virus, yes. But here we are.
Sorry, Matt. Yeah, you came up from.
Glendale. I came from Glendale.
So Glendale's where you got the studio.
Yeah, the Corolla show.
Is it like in his house or something, or is it like?
No, it's in a warehouse that he already owned, and he converted it slowly but eventually into just a recording studio.
Nice.
Yeah, come on by sometime.
I would love to check it out.
I was talking to Keely.
Damn it.
I do live in Hollywood.
You're much closer. Now, yeah, he wants me to come up, so I will drive up there. Yesterday, I drove and spoke at a USC luncheon in Vista, which is, you know.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, from there to Pasadena.
And then I had to drive to Pasadena. And I had to stop in the middle, like it said, I had to charge my car because it was an electric car. And then it was like pain in the ass.
Two people texted me your tweet. I was like, well, does your boss not understand directions? So. They were because you try to go from San Diego to Pasadena in one day, and that's intense.
No, I know, but it's just like you say yes to like different events.
That's
and,
true.
You know, like Brian like does his regular job and said, "I'm going to come to Redondo Beach today."
That's true.
This was a bad idea.
I was admiring the lovely panoramic you have of the Coliseum behind me, framed, beautiful, and it reminded me of again, in case anyone doubts, I'm a real fan. I have that book that you have over there, the USC 50th anniversary, 100 year anniversary book. Oh, right? Yeah, is that what that is? The one all the way to the right, bottom right. Is that a picture book?
Yeah, it's like the official history.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. I have that one. I knew the guy who made the book, and he was nice enough. He asked me not to say anything, but I think enough time has passed. He got me one of the high-res photographs in the book. The one, I think it's a home game, and it's inside the running back huddle, and it's Lindale White and Reggie Bush and a whole bunch of, you know, of that year's running backs inside this picture, you know, low-angle photograph inside the huddle. I had it blown up and put it on a canvas and put it in my bathroom. It's a very
awesome.
Very cool. Very, very DIY, very illegal. But speaking of that, made me think of, speaking of DIY, when I was poor and a USC fan, I couldn't afford, of course, an official jersey. That was way off the table. That was $80. I made my own jersey. I actually bought a blank Cardinal jersey on eBay, which you could do, you know, for $10, whatever it was. And I took it to a place on Santa Monica Boulevard in Santa Monica, and they screen printed a number 3 on it. And this was the piped arm jersey. This is before they transitioned.
Yeah, right.
This would have been 2001, I guess, probably. Yeah, 2001.
Yeah.
So I made my own Carson Palmer jersey. A one of a kind, a one off. Because they didn't, I don't think they had number 3 jerseys.
Did you put the name on the back?
How dare you? Why would you even ask that question?
Well, I wasn't sure how big of a fan you were, if you knew that.
I feel like I've reiterated many times on this podcast. Yeah, I put C. Palmer, just like he had. I put K. Johnson.
You see those walking around.
I know, that always irks me a little bit.
You're like, why?
How big of a fan are you?
You're a big enough fan that you got a jersey and you're at the game. Like, you know the names are not on there.
I love how taboo that is. That's such a USC, like, weird fan thing.
Yeah. We're not disagreeing with you.
It's cool. Well, we're gonna do, so it's funny because the USC is renovating the Coliseum. We're putting the, we've been saying this for like a couple of months now. We're putting a backdrop here for our Tunnel Vision show, which you can't see on this podcast, but behind where Brian and Keely are sitting. And then this whole wall is going to have like a curtain that'll be the peristyle of the Coliseum. And it should be kind of cool. And we're going to use the, you can see it behind you, the tray that my wife actually makes those for her Preserve Press company. But yeah, so that, like, so they print it on wood and stuff. But we're going to use that image. And I'm going to try to fill in the seats with people, because it's not all full. But that's like, it's got the new score. So you needed something that has the new scoreboards on it and not necessarily, you know, but not showing the press box, because the press box is going to be completely gone. They're going to put that building there. So I think that's going to work. But yeah, there's going to be a whole new images now, because the Coliseum's changing. You need like a bunch of new images.
All right. Well, if you want to get rid of a bunch of those, you quote me a price.
All right.
And then give me a further discount and we'll talk. Well, that's very cool. I just noticed that was a trick.
I should, like, so my wife has some USC like coasters and stuff that she makes. Man, I should have got her to get some of those.
What the hell, man?
I'll tell you what. I will bring you some to
now we're talking
to Glendale.
Bring me a bunch.
I will bring you. Yeah,
because I have family members who are big USC fans.
Yeah, yeah.
I need Christmas gifts.
So if I come to get Glendale, maybe Keely and I will come to Glendale or something. But I'll bring you some of the coasters and stuff. That'd be cool.
That'd be awesome.
More than a Trader Joe's bag.
Where does your wife sell these?
They're in the bookstore, the USA bookstore.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you can get them and stuff there. Yeah.
My God, the bookstore has changed so much since I was in school.
It's kind of
unique. It's night and day.
Most of the stuff, like, that's, you know, images printed on like wood keepsakes and stuff. You don't have a lot of that. So it's kind of like its own little niche thing
that's
in the
very
bookstore.
Cool. Yeah, I have to go back and look at my phone, but I have an adorable picture of Tessa in, you know how they have the bins full of pom-poms?
Oh, yeah.
She was into that. She was digging that. Yeah,
that's pretty cool. I love that when people have kids and they just like
let them run wild.
Everything USC, but like everything USC. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love the little cheerleader in football uniforms.
Those are
that's the best.
Those are pretty cute.
The little, yeah. Does Tessa have a cheerleader outfit? Yeah.
No, actually, she has a good friend of ours bought a USC jersey and then like bedazzled it, like put sparkles on it and stuff. Nice. That was very cute.
And then put the name on the back.
And then put the name on the back, but just put Tessa.
In bedazzled.
That's right. Put T. Palomalu on the back. It was not even number 25.
I love the 33. They put OJ Simpson, like put like, you know, Simpson on the back. And like, man, these are just.
Yeah, I don't know where this is going. Hey, man, thanks for having me on. This is a lot
of fun.
No, thanks,
Brian. Yeah, follow him on Twitter, @BaldBrian. Check out the book Shrinkage, the Film Vault, all the good stuff. And, of course, ACS, Adam Carolla Show. Thanks so much, Brian, for coming on.
My pleasure. Fight on.
You've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast, presented by USCFootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. Don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your smartphone or tablet for free. Just click the iTunes link on peristylepodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.